Moncrief on News Talk.
A century ago this month, the Soldiers of Destiny emerged into the sunlight of Irish political life. Fianna Fáil held its inaugural public meeting on May 16th, 1926, and went on to dominate Irish politics for the rest of the century. So how did they do that, and why in this century has that influence waned? Stephen Kelly is Professor of Modern Irish History at Liverpool Hope University. Good afternoon, Stephen.
Hello, Sean. Nice to speak to you. Now,
I suppose, as most people know, Fianna Fáil emerged out of Sinn Féin in the sense of the Fianna Fáil with the people perhaps more prepared to take their seats. When Éamon de Valera had lost that vote within Sinn Féin, did he seriously consider giving up politics altogether?
Well, that's been one of the theories put forward, but I don't think that's actually cuts the mustard whatsoever. I think de Valera was a shrewd politician. He took the opportunity when he saw it, and it was always his ambition to become the Prime Minister and eventually Taoiseach of his country. And what I would argue is that he used the debacle around the Boundary Commission of 1925 and then Sinn Féin's refusal to take their oath of allegiance to Enda Dáil Éireann to establish Fianna Fáil. So it was a political move driven by personal ambition. But at the same time, we would never underestimate the fact that there were many pragmatic, hard-working people within Sinn Féin who felt that the pathway to prosperity for Ireland was to enter the political forum. And you had to do that. You had to enter the Dáil. You had to take the oath of allegiance. So for de Valera, no, he was never going to turn his back on politics.
Yeah. And so at that stage, though, was de Valera, or how instrumental, should I say, was de Valera informing the Fianna Fáil outlook? Not just in relation to the national question, but economics and all sorts of other things.
Yeah, I see. It's probably important for your listeners to kind of give it some context to this. So there's an Ardesh call for Sinn Féin in 1926 to consider if they will end the policy of abstentionism. It's at that Ardesh that resolution is rejected, and de Valera uses that opportunity then to leave, resign as president of Sinn Féin, and establish Fianna Fáil, which we're commemorating the 100-year anniversary this very month. And for de Valera, he had a certain perception of Ireland. It would be, well, people would speak Os Gaeilge. They would focus on the question around partition and Irish unity. You would have self-sufficiency, so protectionism. And also the banner on which all of this was forged was, of course, Catholicism. So de Valera's vision of Ireland was the embodiment of what Fianna Fáil stood for. Without de Valera, you never would have had Fianna Fáil. And he becomes the linchpin for the success of that organisation throughout the 30s and 40s. Because it is astonishing. A party that only came into existence in 1926 is in power by 1932 and remains in power until 1948. And over the century that has gone, Fianna Fáil have been in power for 67 years.
Yes.
So they built an amazing organisation with many faults, don't get me wrong, but it was an electoral machine.
Yeah. Yeah, and yes, it was for many years after that. How did they build that? Because it's almost like Fianna Fáil establishes itself as a party, and right at the start they don't seem to have much in the way of resources, yet somehow they managed to turn that into a movement as much as a political party.
Yeah.
How did they do
how
that?
How they did that was extraordinary. It was feet on the ground. So de Valera, like the Soldiers of Destiny, they went out and they visited every local parish across Ireland. It's estimated by 1927, only a year into the party's existence, they had over 1,300 local branches. Come on. So they were able to mobilise a vast majority of people, the urban workers, the small farmers and everyone in between, and just project that image of self-sufficiency, of regenerating Ireland, making it a country that would be prosperous. And they sold that social message of, you know, protecting and growing Ireland for the better. And it is astonishing that within the space of, as I said, over a year, they had over 1,300 local branches.
Mm. And did that involve the kind of pragmatic, given that they were going to take the oath of allegiance now, but not say it out loud, did that also involve a kind of a pragmatic turning away from the focus on the national question to more kind of humdrum problems to be solved?
Yes. So Fianna Fáil's raison d'etre for the establishment's number one aim is to achieve United Ireland, it is as it is today, as it was 100 years ago. But the reality was, the harsh reality was, the partition question was absolutely abandoned by Fianna Fáil from the moment it took power in 1932, and indeed when it was in opposition from 27, because the pursuit of its own agenda to get into government and to maintain its position dominated its political positioning. So their focus was on dismantling the apparatus of what would have been the free state, so refusing to pay the land annuities, dismantling the oath of allegiance, reconstituting Ireland's constitution with the 1937 constitution, De Valera's constitution. So Fianna Fáil's plan, if you want, its vision was focused on the 26 counties to the detriment then of Northern nationalists, and that remained the case after De Valera, to his successors from Sean Lamass all the way up to Charlie Haughey. It's actually interesting, under Bertie Ahern, we'd go way back, not way back in time, but into the 2000s. Bertie Ahern was the first leader of Fianna Fáil to establish Fianna Fáil as a political party in Northern Ireland. So for generations, they ignored that, but Bertie Ahern tried to kind of reignite that agenda, but again, that's gone to the wayside under Micheál Martin's leadership.
Yeah. Now, and in Sean Lamass, was he the willing and faithful lieutenant while De Valera, you know, was still at the head of the party, or you know, did he always agree with the mould that De Valera had created for Fianna Fáil?
Initially, yes, he was, you know, the loyal lieutenant. It was Lamass who suggested the subtitle, the name of the party, Republican Party. So Fianna Fáil, the Republican Party. He was a pragmatist. He's famous for that phrase, a constitutional party. That he recognised that the party needed to grow, it needed to expand its electorate. In the 30s, he was very much a supporter of De Valera's protectionist policies. But after the post-Second World War period, it's Lamass who's masterminding Ireland's shift to kind of open market economics. So, you know, embracing foreign direct investment. He becomes Taoiseach in 1958. He's groomed for that position throughout the 50s. By the 50s, the early 50s, De Valera is almost blind, people might be aware of. He's regularly missing from cabinet meetings, government events, and it's Lamass who's shoehorned in to take over those reins of government. So when the election comes in 1959, there is no one to contest Lamass. Lamass is appointed because of his loyalty to De Valera and his vision. He continued in the line of De Valera, but the pragmatism of Lamass certainly opens up Ireland to this kind of renaissance, the economic renaissance that is the 1960s, which sees Ireland then expanding its economic interests abroad.
Yeah, and is it known how De Valera felt about that?
Man, that's a good question. Look, De Valera was a man of his time. He's born in the Victorian period. He's born in 1882, so he's a traditionalist. He's a fixation with protectionism, the Irish language. Lamass had no time for the Irish language, really. He was much more about the pragmatics of growing the country. So they were very different in terms of their economic outlooks. They were both, you know, principled Republicans who loved their country, but they had different pathways to achieve their economic successes, because De Valera was certainly not of the same eek when it comes to the economic model that Lamass kind of fostered into the 60s.
Now, but notwithstanding that difference, is it fair to say, and notwithstanding the staunch Catholicism at the heart of the party, was Fianna Fáil originally more of a left-wing party than it might be seen today?
Absolutely. So you shouldn't forget, many of those who become ministers within Fianna Fáil were excommunicated by the Catholic Church during the Civil War. So that always was a resentment that they held towards the Church, even though De Valera was very close to the Catholic Church. You know, Charles McQuaid, Archbishop of Dublin. Sean Lamass, a good example. Gerard Boland as well. They were both lefties. You know, they both read Marxist literature. Gerard Boland visited Russia in 1925. So they were sympathetic to the socialist agenda. Fianna Fáil, when it got into government in the 1930s, was in many ways a socialist party. It had a massive building, homes building program. And it was focused on the urban working classes. So it tried to increase welfare payments. So they had a social conscience. Now, I would argue over time that dissipated, as Fianna Fáil became much more embedded into the system. But yeah, initially it certainly was a socialist movement.
And so later on in the 20th century, we started to see that vote go down. and you know, there was a kind of a period where I remember Charlie High saying, you know, a temporary little arrangement was a coalition government, in that we can't believe that we won't go back to single party government. What happened in Ireland? How did Ireland change that fewer people were voting for Fianna Fáil?
I think, yeah, Charlie Hawley had always said when he was a Taoiseach that he would never go into coalition. Of course, the minute he found himself out of power, he jumped into bed with with the PDs, and which was Desmond O'Malley, of course, who left Fianna Fáil. Yeah, I think the reality was, and wasn't just in Ireland, across Europe in the 80s and 90s, you had much more, politics was beginning to splinter. Political parties were emerging, and the proportional representation model that we use, it was almost an inevitability that you would have coalition governments. And so Fianna Fáil, which is astonishing, of course, are sharing government today with their great rivals, Fine Gael. So, yeah, I think that Fianna Fáil, as with many other major European parties, just found themselves in those conditions that were just, you know, focused on coalition arrangements.
Yeah. Stephen, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Stephen Kelly there, Professor of Modern Irish History at Liverpool Hope University.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.